Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Look on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Yeah, we are locked and loaded, I would think, for a Thursday here in the Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio. John Rook with PFW's Eric Scalavino. We have...
Did you make me Spanish all of a sudden?
Did I make you... What did
Scalavino.
I say?
Jalapeno.
Did I say Scalavino? Really? I said that?
Yeah.
That's what I get for, like, you know, looking at my phone, looking at my messages, and trying to speak at the same time. Kevin is on his game today,
really?
Baby.
He has been.
He is on his game. Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, hold on a second. Timeout. Okay, there we go. All right, I'm good. Thank you very much. All right, Joe Holden from the New Orleans Times-Picayune is coming in just a short while. Tom Brenneman from Fox Sports is going to join us also. So
play-by-play guy?
He's the play-by-play guy along with Troy Aikman, I believe, on Sunday here at the stadium. So we're going to get a chance to talk to Tom for a bit, get his take on not only the Saints but the Patriots, the perception.
Pitching a 10 back there.
Was that his call? Wow.
That's what perfect way to introduce
him.
We
have to thank him.
You'll have
like
to
at
thank
the
him
end of
that.
The interview, we'll
right.
play it.
Yeah.
And we can just thank him.
I think that's an excellent idea, Kev. Oh, the man is on fire today.
Yeah.
He really is. He's on fire. Good job out of you, Kev. So that's coming up as well. And then, of course, in hour number two, the one and only Russell S. Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com. He'll join us as we jump into week 6 around the NFL. I don't know why, even though we spent the last couple of days, Eric, but Scalavino, but I don't know why.
Well,
why do I feel differently today? Why all of a sudden am I and I have no – I did not read anything other than, you know, what I would normally read. I'm just left with a little bit more of a positive feeling going into the game today, this weekend.
Maybe you got everything, all of your anger out on Tuesday.
And there's nothing left.
Maybe there's nothing left.
Well, it wasn't even anger. It was just really, I guess, just sort of
frustration.
Yes, a lot of it's frustration, and I know that the last couple of days we spent quite a bit. You know, people think that I've kind of been haranguing Tom Brady, but this is really not about Brady. This whole week's discussion has been about changing attitudes and looking to the future and trying to entertain big picture scenarios as opposed to just concentrating on the here and now. And I realize that most fans want to concentrate on the here and now, and I don't disagree with that. We do need to concentrate on the here and now, but the here and now also could very easily directly affect the big picture in the future, and so that's why I think it was just time to enter into the discussion. There's no right time, and there's no wrong, well, there is a wrong time. The wrong time would be never or too late, but there's really no right time to bring this into the discussion process. So all we kind of did was enter it into the consciousness of Patriots fans everywhere, really, to say that, you know, this is something that will need to be addressed. Maybe now is not the exact time to do it, but it does need to be addressed.
But maybe, but again, maybe you got it off your chest, and now you feel a little bit more clear-headed now. It's been a couple of days later. And
I actually think that's accurate. Because I do feel a little bit more clear-headed.
Yeah.
I would tell you that, believe it or not, you know, and obviously, as many of you know, this is Prediction Thursday. So right now, you want to get your predictions in because our program is locked and we are loaded for bear today. We've got a lot of guests. We've got a lot of things to get to. We definitely want to break down the Saints. So we're going to get into all of that. So I would say if you've got a score prediction for Sunday, and again, the Yearbook/media guide is still up for grabs because nobody got even close last week with the 13-6 loss to Cincinnati.
We were all kind of on the low scoring end, though.
We were all on the low scoring,
low.
Though, but not quite that low. Webradio@patriots.com. The toll-free telephone number, 855-PATS-500. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. At JR Broadcaster on Twitter. John.Rook on Facebook. All right, so there are many different ways that you can get us with your score prediction. I don't think it's going to be quite as low scoring. as last week. And I think the Saints
offense.
It's hard
to get any lower.
Yeah, well, but the Saints offense is going to have a tremendous amount to do with that. That's the big thing. So once, you know, we figure out though what kind of a defense actually might, be on the field for New England, in an effort to slow down the Saints offense, then might get a little bit of a gauge as to what kind of tempo, what kind of pace, what kind of offense we might see here on Sunday. Larry Holder, as we said, he is the writer for the New Orleans Times-Picayune and NOLA.com covering the New Orleans Saints, and he joins us here in the playbook. Larry, it is John and Eric here in Foxborough. Thanks for taking the time today.
Yeah, you got it. Anytime, guys.
All right, so let's start with what kind of a team the Saints team is at 5-0, one of three unbeatens in the NFL. Are they as good as the record would indicate?
I would think so. Yeah, and it's a kind of a different scenario than especially when you compare it to the last time they went undefeated in 2009, and really just the calling card of this team. You know, you hear about Drew Brees and hear about Jimmy Graham and this and that, but to me, it's really been. On defense, it's really been the massive improvement from really for a long time. I mean, the Saints with Rob Ryan as their defensive coordinator, they're really getting pressure with their front four. And it's funny because Rob Ryan is always known as a 3-4 defense, and yet they're basically running a 4-2-5 where it's only two linebackers, four defensive linemen, and five DBs basically every play. And so
sounds like New England.
He's kind of had to adapt to the players that they've had, and the players are really buying in. They didn't buy in too much with Steve Spagnuolo's philosophy last year, but Rob Ryan, it's really been the defense that's really helped the Saints out this season more than all the gaudy numbers by Drew Brees and Jimmy Graham and Darren Sproles. They get all the pub, but it's really been more complimentary football than we've seen here in a lot of years in New Orleans.
Yeah, as Eric just mentioned, it does sound a little like what New England is trying to do defensively, and clearly there is some familiarity with the Patriots and Rob Ryan as well over the years. So while Rob Ryan seems to have brought a little bit of a fresh breath defensively for the Saints, the two things that we look at are certainly guys that play down front and rush the quarterback, and guys like Jordan and Gallette. What have they meant difference-wise to this team?
Yeah, those two guys have definitely they've been able to rush the passer, and it hasn't really been with blitz. I mean, you're right. Those two guys are really getting one-on-one pass blocking. A lot of it even has to do with their young defensive tackles with Akeem Hicks and John Jenkins, their third-round pick from this year, and Akeem Hicks was their third-round pick from last year. Mm-hmm. They've been seeing the majority of the snaps, and they've really been kind of taking on those middle blockers, allowing for Gallette and Cam Jordan to get one-on-one pass rushes. And this year is really the first time we're seeing Gallette see the bulk of the snaps. I mean, last year, he only really saw he actually knows the number better than me, but I think it was around 26% of the defensive snaps. But, you know, the Saints are really kind of what hasn't maybe been by design, but they've really gone with the youth movement up front. I mean, Junior Gallette's a young player. Cam Jordan was their first-round pick in 2011. You're starting to see really these young, hungry guys really get after the quarterback. And like I said, it's really been without a blitz. I mean, they rarely blitz. I said before last week, in weeks 3 and 4, they only blitzed a total of 11 times on dropback. So it's really been getting the job done with their front four, and it's something that this hasn't happened in a long time here in New Orleans. Maybe you have to go back to when Leroy Glover was here and Joe Johnson and players like that, that you've really seen a consistent pass rush from just their front line.
Where's the weakness on this defense? Is it in the secondary? Is it in the linebacking core? Is it general inconsistency? What would you say right now should be improved?
Well, they could probably use some beefing up on their run defense. Teams have been able to run the football consistently against them. If I'm going to point at one weakness, because I feel like they've improved at cornerback, bringing in Keenan Lewis. Malcolm Jenkins is playing better at safety. Kenny Vaccaro, he's kind of had his ups and downs a little bit with the Saints. Jay Cutler threw on him a few times last week. And then in week 2 against Tampa Bay, there was a 75-yard touchdown that Vincent Jackson caught, but luckily for him, it was called back because of, I think it was an illegal formation or something, but he got beat on that coverage too. So I think Kenny Vaccaro is still learning. He may be a little bit of a weak point. And, he knows last week he got beat badly on an Alshon Jeffrey deep ball, and he even said this week he knows Tom Brady's going to be looking for him. So if that's one thing, Kenny Vaccaro, that first-round safety, I mean, he's made some plays, but he's still a rookie, so he has some growing pains. But there and maybe the run defense is something that New England might want to try to take advantage of.
Well, one thing I do know from following Kenny in his college career at Texas that he is a thumper. He will hit you, and he will hit you all day long.
Oh, there's no doubt. And he got his first sack last week on Jay Cutler, and I literally wrote he had to – it was almost like he had to get a human divot out because he slammed Jay Cutler to the ground. But, yeah, he's a thumper, but they use him a lot in pass coverage, too. I mean, they use him in nickel situation as their nickel corner. They'll use him, and they'll use Malcolm Jenkins, both of their safeties who play basically every down. They will use them as their nickel guy. So it's different from what we've seen in the past. But, yeah, Kenny Vaccaro, he's an exciting player, but he's still going – you know, and he admits it. He's still got some learning to do.
All right, play defensive coordinator for a second for me here. The question that's been on everyone's mind in this part of the country since opening day is Rob Gronkowski going to play this weekend? It looks like this weekend maybe he has the best shot so far this year of suiting up. If he does, how do the Saints cover him?
I think they probably put either Vaccaro or Jenkins on him. This is the thing. If there's any team in the NFL who has the best simulator in practice or in training camp for a Rob Gronkowski type of player,
Jimmy Graham,
because of Jimmy Graham.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't anticipate them putting a corner on Rob Gronkowski. I would think they're confident in the skills of Jenkins or Vaccaro, depending on which side of the field he lines up, whatever they're running. But to me, it would be one of those two guys. They wouldn't put a linebacker on him because they only really play two linebackers. The majority of the time, one's Curtis Lawton, the other is David Hawthorne. I don't think the Saints want to put either one of them on him, and they're going to leave their corners just cover receivers. So either one of those two safeties is who would go up against Gronkowski.
So no double team? You don't think?
I wouldn't think so. They did that a good bit though against Brandon Marshall. They tried that well, especially against Tony Gonzalez late in the game. I think they would mix things up, but I don't think they would be afraid to go one-on-one with him. But, you know, like I said, at times they would bracket cover him. And they're preparing for him. I know they're not waiting around for him and wondering, oh, is he going to play? No, they're preparing as if he's going to play. So I just feel like the Saints, they would have confidence in Jenkins or Vaccaro just gauging by, say, training camp practices. I mean, they went one-on-one with Jimmy Graham a lot. Now, Jimmy Graham won. But I still think that might be the route they go. But, look, they might throw in some wrinkles. They threw in some more wrinkles against Chicago than we've seen in the past. So they might do the same against New England.
Larry Holder covers the Saints for the New Orleans Times-Picayune and NOLA.com joining us here in the playbook. All right, let's flip it over to the other side then, and let's talk about Graham, because that certainly seems to be everybody's focal point, at least here in New England. But I think we also know that there are some other weapons that Drew Brees has certainly had an opportunity to throw to. If not Graham, does Brees have a binky on the offense?
He could certainly go to Darren Sproles. He can certainly go to Marcus Colston. I mean, Marcus Colston's only the franchise's leading receiver in touchdowns, receptions, and their entire franchise history. So it's not like Marcus Colston's a slouch. It's just Jimmy Graham has just been that matchup that no one can defend. And so he keeps going to him until they can defend him. But, no, Darren Sproles is definitely a legitimate threat out of the backfield. And even last week, Pierre Thomas was someone who they used a lot. And it's not really, you know, they don't use their running back. They try to run the football, but it's really been the success has been through the passing game. And, I don't anticipate Lance Moore's going to play, so you're still going to see some youngsters like Kenny Stills and Nick Toon come out and play. Robert Meacham will see plenty of snaps as well. But with all of that, Breeze he's not married to going to Jimmy Graham all the time if it's not there. I mean, he only had, I think it was 4 catches against Miami, and he was only targeted 4 times against Miami, mm-hmm. and yet he caught 100 yards and 4 touchdowns. So he can go different directions. It's just he try, you know, if it's there, he's going to take it. And even sometimes when it's not there, he's going to take it, and Jimmy Graham's going to get the job done.
Sure, I think that's just part of the perception, at least from this angle. How come Ingram has not played as much or hasn't been as successful as perhaps his college pedigree would have indicated?
Well, he's been out the last few weeks with a toe injury, but the speculation was started about how he was unhappy maybe, how he maybe wanted to trade. And I think that's a big question. That's one of those points where fans go bonkers because he was a first-round pick the year with Cam Jordan. They traded up to get him. I think it's partially him. I think it's partially the offensive line. They don't do as much run blocking as maybe other teams would just because they throw the ball so much. But, I just feel like if he were a third-round pick, the expectations wouldn't be as high, and maybe the Saints reached on him when they drafted him. And so he's not as that explosive player that you would think, that maybe people anticipated. And so, part of it's him, part of it's the offensive line struggling to run block for him. But that is if there's a hot-button topic still with a 5-0 team, it's kind of simmered down since he hadn't played in the last couple of weeks. But they're wondering what's the deal with Mark Ingram. And I think in part the Saints are still wondering that as well.
Overall, I think that, I get the impression, again, looking from the outside, you're obviously a lot closer to this than anybody around here would be, that the 5-0 start is a bit of a surprise. How much of a surprise is it? Is New Orleans, based on what you've seen thus far, deserving of being one of the better teams in the NFL right now?
I think for sure. I think there's no doubt. The fact that they have a defense, I think that's a giant surprise so far. I'm not surprised that they started off the season 4-0. I anticipated they would at least be 3-1. Maybe they would have lost to Atlanta. Maybe they would have lost at Tampa. I didn't think they would lose to Arizona or Miami. I think at least for them, they got over the hump going into Chicago and winning that game. I could have seen them that being a game where they lost, but they were able to go in there. They'd never won in Chicago with Drew Brees and Sean Payton in New Orleans, including a loss in an NFC title game back in the 2006 season. But I think to go in there and play mistake-free football, they never turned the football over against Chicago, and they're, year in and year out, the league leaders in takeaways, and they didn't turn the ball over once. They protected Brees very well in pass protection. I think that game maybe surprised me a little bit more that they were able to come out and win. And really, I don't feel like they only won by 8, but to me, I feel like the Saints kind of dominated that game. The Bears got a late touchdown and were trying to scramble back, but I think the Saints dominated in time of possession in that game. And I'm surprised that they're 5-0. It wouldn't have surprised me if they were 4-1, but I feel like that they haven't dropped the game yet is a little surprising. But I mean, this team is legit. I mean, they're a legit Super Bowl contender. I didn't know, like I said, they would be 5-0, but I think they're definitely a legit Super Bowl contender.
You know, Sean Payton had to sit out last year. I think a lot of people understand what the story was with his suspension a year ago. How much really has his return led to this start by the Saints this year?
I mean, you can't deny that that's helped. I mean, there's a reason why he is one of the highest paid coaches in the NFL. He's one of the best coaches in the NFL. You lose that. Then there's a reason why Joe Vitt isn't a head coach. There's a reason why Aaron Cromer isn't a head coach. And those guys, they were like the substitutes. And, you know, the message was different. People were scrambling every week. Also just off the field with the lawsuits with the Saints. And really, Drew Brees is trying to – Sean Payton said during the offseason, Drew Brees' job description changed. They couldn't run the football. They couldn't play defense. No one trusted in the Steve Spagnuolo defense. So Sean Payton came back, hired a guy that maybe some people thought was a head-scratcher with Rob Ryan. It turned out to be a great hire. And just I think it's calmed Drew Brees down. To have Sean Payton back. He's not trying to put as much on his shoulders. He's got the guy in his ear who he trusts more than anyone in his entire football career. And, the players who played under Sean Payton realized, look, the sheriff's back. And then the players, say like a Curtis Lawson and some other players who haven't played under Sean Payton, they see the difference from 1 year to the next. Wow, there's a reason why players respond to him. And you can't deny it's been one of maybe the number one or 1A reason why this team is back to the success they were at when he left.
Excellent. All right, Larry, so much. Thank you for the time today. We appreciate it. Safe travels down this way, or up this way, as the case may be.
Yep, I'll be up there Saturday.
Awesome. Thank you, Larry. Appreciate the time. That's Larry Holder, again, who covers the Saints for the New Orleans Times-Picayune and also NOLA.com, standing for NOLA, mm-hmm. New Orleans, Louisiana. Their abbreviation. Catch all of his stuff there on NOLA. You can catch him on NOLA.com and follow him on Twitter at Larry Holder. Interesting that, you know, you look at what the Saints have done this year. In all honesty, there's really not been what you'd say is an overwhelming, impressive.
Well, they're not playing
victory.
Like the Broncos.
I mean, no, it's definitely not the Denver Broncos and blowing everybody away offensively like the Patriots did in 07. But I mean, their wins, they beat Atlanta 23-17 in the opener. Then they won on the road at Tampa 16-14.
Yeah. Game they could have lost it very easily.
Easily. That's right. Came down to the last seconds. Arizona, a 31-7 win. They beat Miami 38-17, and they went on the road.
That was the most impressive one.
Probably, I would have to say. And then they won at Chicago 26-18 last week. Was certainly a good game. Tough win, but that Miami game is probably as impressive as anything. And I think a lot of people sort of kind of blew that one off only because it was the first time for Miami to really be in the spotlight of that one. So, do we really know what we're getting out of the Saints? The other issue here.
I think last week was a good test. That Bears game.
Good test.
Yeah.
And so a pretty good team. Solid team at the very least. Improved defensively. The reason I think that I'm kind of thinking like this might be an opportunity for the Patriots, Eric, and I'll lead you into this, and we'll get to our picks in just a little bit. But New Orleans is having a little bit of struggle scoring in the red zone. Believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
They're having some struggle scoring in the red zone. Because of that, in fact, I believe they're only 29th in the league in red zone efficiency, whereas the Patriots, as we all know, are next to last in red zone, you know, touchdowns as well. So because of that, I tend to think this isn't going to be quite the high-scoring affair that some think it might be.
If they don't score from the red zone?
Well, that's true. They could score from longer distance. That's also true. But seeing as the Patriots really haven't given up, the big play like we've seen them give up in the past, I'm just thinking that, look, if the status quo holds here, now we could be wrong because we just don't know how the Saints are going to exploit, you know, Graham, how the Patriots are going to choose to try to defend him, whether or not Darren Sproles, as, you know, Larry told us, might end up being the X factor here, because it sounds to me if they're going to put, you know, try to take Graham out and make somebody else beat you, then if I'm Drew Brees, I'm looking for Sproles to get into the open field. I'm trying to figure out a way to, with screens, with reverses, with cutbacks, whatever, to get him in the open field. Because as we all know, he's a little guy and he runs low to the ground. So he's going to be very difficult to bring down, a la Danny Woodhead when Woodhead was here in New England. So, you know, if he can break loose for a 40 or a 50 yarder, then that's the X factor in the game. I think New Orleans to win this game is going to have to snap off a big one against the Patriots somewhere. That's kind of how I'm thinking. If the Patriots can keep the big gainer from happening. Run or pass. And I think if the Patriots, clearly, you can't turn the ball over. You cannot turn the ball over. So you've got to finish plus, you know, in terms of the giveaway takeaway. If you finish plus and you keep New Orleans from making the big play, I think you got a great chance to win this game at home.
So that's kind of where you're thinking.
That's kind of where my thinking is.
Well,
you're about to tell me how wrong I am.
No, that's right. They could win if they do that, if they do those things.
And those are two huge factors.
Because
New Orleans will have something to say about that.
Of course. And I'm not so sure they'll be able to stop any big plays, especially from Graham or Sproles. And, turning the ball over, you never know. I mean,
sometimes those are caused.
That's the way the ball bounces sometimes. Or you can't really predict, unless you're the Giants, I guess, that you're going to turn the ball over at a high rate every week. But that's not out of the question, the scenario you just posed. I just think it's going to be difficult to contain not just one, but two of those guys. And he mentioned Marcus Colston, Larry did. It's another guy that I think people aren't really talking about.
Very underrated because he's been there forever.
Mm.
I mean, but he is a dynamic and has been a dynamic receiver. Clearly, he's had a dynamic quarterback get him the ball, but he does have the ability to go up and get it, and he's pretty sure-handed.
I am very curious to see how Matt Patricia defends Jimmy Graham.
Mm-hmm.
What he does.
What would you anticipate?
I don't think you can go one-on-one with him.
No, I don't think so either.
You're going to have to do something with...
He's a basketball player.
Yeah.
Right? For those that don't know the background, he played basketball at the University of Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't play football until the last year.
Last year, right.
Correct.
Right.
And he's turned into now an all-pro tight end, but it's his athleticism and his ability to go up and get things and to utilize his quickness and athleticism to basically, whenever someone has him man-on-man, to just beat his man. I saw him play basketball at University of Miami. I covered a couple of his games. In fact, as a matter of fact, once against Providence, it was in the championship game of the Puerto Rico tip-off about 5-6 years ago, and he was a man among boys. He really was. I mean, he was a physical specimen, and I remember saying at the time, man, you know what? He'd be a hell of a tight end. As it turns out, he ends up being a tight end
the very next season. Yeah.
He turns out to be a hell of a tight end just because he's a big target. You know, so he was great at the low post moves. And so, to me, that's why he's so difficult for anybody to defend one-on-one, because he was hard for people to defend on the basketball floor.
Yeah. Well, I have to think you're going to have to put a safety and a linebacker probably on him.
And so if you do that, then how much does Drew Brees look for a guy like Colston and or Sproles coming out of the backfield?
I know, that's the problem. You have to pick your poison.
Yeah, pick your poison.
Try to shut one thing down, force them to go to something else, and
mm-hmm.
hope you have... I think they're better equipped to defend a guy like Sproles or Colston. You can go one-on-one to leave in Colston. You could go one-on-one with maybe, although I don't love it, maybe Mayo on Sproles.
Right.
Although I don't love that matchup. With a little help, maybe Arrington on Sproles,
mm-hmm.
for instance. That would probably be a little bit more of a likely matchup. You can't go one-on-one with Graham, so you have to take your chances with those other guys.
So you're going to see – you probably see, nickel as the regular defense.
Oh, I would imagine. You hardly will see any base, I wouldn't think.
What does this do to a guy like Brandon Spikes then?
Well, that's the interesting thing, because I don't think Dont'a Hightower's played very well this year in space.
You give Spikes a chance then to
– it wouldn't shock me.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying. Especially with a guy like Graham, maybe they want to get a physical linebacker. Granted, Spikes isn't very fleet of foot, but maybe if you just keep him back there and to help out as far as the size goes, with let's say it's Devin McCourty.
Bill did say that he's tall. So.
Yeah, but so maybe you do. Maybe you help out McCourty, who's smaller.
Right.
With stature-wise, with a bigger guy like Spikes. I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see what they do.
Nice chess match.
Yeah.
Could be a nice chess match. I think we'll see a lot. If you're into following in-game adjustments, this is going to be the game to watch on Sunday.
Yeah.
You will definitely see Belichick match wits with his former assistant and Ryan, and certainly you'll see Sean Payton adjust on the fly. You may see as many in-game adjustments as you ever consciously notice in an NFL game coming this Sunday.
I think most people that I've talked to in our media circles this week, I think most people expect Aqib Talib to be covering Jimmy Graham this week.
See, I was going to ask that, because it seems to me that, if you've decided fundamentally that you're going to go with single coverage on him, the only person that makes any sense is Talib.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only one with any kind of athleticism and size, for that matter, that even has a prayer, and he's still going to give up, 5 inches on Jimmy
Graham.
Well,
Graham's 6'7"?
6'6", right?
Something
6'7"?
Like that.
Okay.
And Talib is 6 feet.
So you're going to give up
6'1"?
You're going to give up half a foot.
Yeah.
Half a foot. Right. Half a foot.
Still a tall order, pardon the pun.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a possibility, too. That they maybe say, all right, let's just see if we can go one-on-one with all of these guys.
But if you can't go, then you're going
to
adjust, and you're going to have to come over the top and get some safety help, right?
Yeah.
Well, interesting.
How it plays out.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. But like I said, I really am going to be looking forward to watching the adjustments in-game made by both sides, because they are coming,
mm-hmm.
and they will probably come in droves. We may have a hard time keeping up
with
all of them.
You better hope they're coming.
Well, you have to, because if you don't, then you're going to somebody's going to get blown out if it doesn't happen.
I mean, I just remember Super Bowl 42. The adjustments never came.
Mm-hmm.
And we know what happened there.
Yeah, he got beat by an inferior team.
Yeah. Now, the Saints are not in any way an inferior team.
No, no. But I think you could take a look at what they've done this year, and you could say, all right, have they been dominant? And you'd have to say no. Certainly not Denver dominant.
No.
But the fact is they've won every game that's been placed before them thus far. You know, and the last two are arguably the most impressive that they've had. You know, beating Miami by 21 and then winning on the road by 8 at Chicago. So, you know, those are not slouches.
I think the last game was the most impressive one they've had this year.
Probably.
Even though it was a tight score.
Probably. And the Patriots have had, you know, their own, you know, struggles. If they don't score, you know, if they score more than 6 last week, you'd probably feel a lot better about, you know, their opportunities for this week. But
yeah, if Danny Amendola rolls into the end zone. That was really close. I'm stunned that there was no replay
on that. I know.
Really am.
Should have been.
I
don't know that
it
gets turned over, but.
No, maybe not, but I'm still, you got to give it a chance, right?
You would think. But it wasn't technically called a scoring play on the field, so therefore it was not.
No, but I'm surprised Bill didn't throw a challenge flag or, you know.
Apparently they didn't feel strongly enough about it. Obviously, water under the bridge at this stage.
Amendola thought
he was in.
Yeah,
yes,
so,
he did.
Well, usually when the player feels that way, they're lobbying at least in the spur of the moment to try to get a replay, you know.
If you have Gronkowski back this week, if you have Amendola, who played last week, you know, closer to health, you have Stephen Ridley back this week. And by the way, how about an update on the injury report today and the who was in practice?
We still were missing three players, but we swapped one for another. Jamie Collins is now
out
today. Michael Buchanan is back in, not injury. I always
not
have trouble with that. Not
related?
Injury related.
Okay,
so that's good news for them. Leon Washington, the ankle. And Tommy Kelly, the right knee, both still out.
Doesn't look good for either of them this week.
Collins, we need to take a look at the injury report today and see what that was all about, because he wasn't on yesterday's. So he, I would imagine, didn't get hurt in practice yesterday, or else he would have been on the report yesterday.
But Ridley has been back this week.
Ridley was back both yesterday and today.
And I think that's the X factor that's involved here. If you have Ridley involved as your number one guy, I think that bodes well. That gives you, you know, another weapon, clearly, that, you know, they missed last week against Cincinnati. So that certainly will help. All right, once again, 508-298-0398, the Ace Ticket Hotline. Toll-free line anywhere you're listening to us, 855-PATS-500. Email webradio@patriots.com, @JRBroadcaster on Twitter, John.Rook on Facebook. It's Prediction Thursday. Get your score picks in for a shot at winning the yearbook. We're going to get the timeout, and then Tom Brenneman, Fox Sports, joins us in the playbook.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest prices on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 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 1-800.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
Rolling along inside the playbook here on a Prediction Thursday on Patriots.com Radio. The focus, of course, New Orleans Saints. It's a 4:25 kickoff here at the stadium on Sunday afternoon, so the late afternoon game. Fox will have the television coverage, and Fox Sports play-by-play announcer Tom Brenneman, who will be teamed up with Troy Aikman, joins us here inside the playbook. He'll be a part of the broadcast, of course, on Sunday afternoon. Tom, it's John and Eric here in Foxborough. Thanks for the time today.
John, Eric, how are you guys doing today?
Outstanding today.
Very good.
So we got a 5-0 team against a 4-1 team, and you know, I know the Patriots fans are looking forward to the opportunity perhaps to make a name for themselves somewhat on the national scale, just because of stubbing their toe last week against Cincinnati. How good is a New Orleans team? How good is this team really at 5-0? Are they one of the best?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt they're one of the best. Having said that, I certainly think that there are some surprises that perhaps, you know, have you wondering how long will this happen? How long will that happen? That's always going to happen when, you know, you give up the most yards allowed in the history of the NFL in one season, which the Saints defense did a year ago. And now all of a sudden nobody can score against them. You know, they're giving up 14 points per game.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been among the elite teams in the league defensively, much like New England in that regard. They're not giving up much as far as points are concerned or yards. They're getting to the quarterback. They have a new defensive coordinator. They've gone from a 4-3 to a 3-4. So there are so many changes. I think when you ask the question, how good are they, you don't ever ask the question, how good are they on offense? Because sooner or later, they're going to run the ball better. They haven't run the ball as well as they would like to yet. And I think one of the misnomers about the Saints is that they are an all-passing team. They certainly were last year, but when they've been at their best, when Sean Payton has been the head coach, they've also been a team that runs the ball very, very well. And I think we'll start to see that more as the season progresses.
What's your impression on the flip side about the national opinion of New England and their 4-1 record?
I can't speak, you know, for anybody else, but I'll say, you know, to me, I think if there's ever been a testament to how great the Patriots franchise is, I think this season might be it. And I know we're only five games into it, and this thing could run off the rails, or it could get a lot better with more guys returning to better health, Gronkowski coming back, and Amendola perhaps, you know, being closer to 100%. We'll see. But, you know, for this team and looking at the personnel that they have on offense, I think that everybody has to be surprised that they have a 4-1 record. But they just find the way, as the Patriots do seemingly every single year since Belichick and Brady have been together. They find a way to get it done. I'd say I could go on and on and on and on about how impressed at least I am. And again, I can't speak for everybody else, but I just can't say enough about this team being 4-1. I compare them with a team, for example, I live in Cincinnati,
mm-hmm.
and I compare them to the team that the Patriots saw last week. And the Patriots got punched in the mouth last week pretty good.
Yep.
You know, this is a good Bengals team and has a chance to be a really good Bengals team. But they're 3-2. And the difference between, you know, 4-1 and 3-2 may not sound like much, but you get down near the end, that one loss can make a big difference in having to play on the road in a wild card or having to play on the road in a divisional game as opposed to being at home when all is said and done.
And I didn't even think Cincinnati played their best last week. They looked pretty bad.
That's the problem I think a lot of people have, you know, and it really centers around the quarterback. I think a lot of people wonder, can this guy get them to where they want to go and where they'd like to go? Because you look everywhere else, and especially after this past year's draft with bringing in the tight end Eifert and bringing in, you know, the running back. I don't know why I'm drawing a blank on his name. Giovanni
Bernard.
Bernard, and so you know, to go along with what they have there already. And their defense, I mean, I don't think I can say enough. I'm not sure that, I know that Tom Brady and the Patriots do not have all their guys there. So you have to certainly put that asterisk there. But I'm not so sure I've ever seen a team do a job defensively on a Patriots team that the Bengals did last weekend.
Just basically, Tom, looking at I'm sure as what you've looked at from the Patriots thus far, where does Tom Brady, in your estimation, need the help beyond the rookie receivers, you know, dropping some footballs? Is there anything else that you've been able to pick up? What have you and your producers talked about in terms of what you expect out of Tom Brady and where his help should be coming from?
Well, look, I think even the most ardent Patriot fan would agree, and this isn't any kind of knock on Tom Brady. No quarterback likes to get hit. But I think you go a long way in determining what you might be able to do in terms of beating the Patriots if you can start hitting him very early in the game. And again, I get back to the case in point from the game last weekend. Well, the second play of the game, there's Geno Atkins and almost runs right through Brady. You know, you start doing that a lot, and the Saints team has a chance to be that kind of team. This is a very, very good pass rushing team. Look, the guy, I know his numbers statistically are not where they've been. I understand that. But again, look who he doesn't have. I'm not going to say look who he has, because in 2 years from now, I might be coming into New England, good Lord willing, to do a game, and we might be talking about how great Tompkins is and how great Dobson is and how great Amendola and all these guys are.
Yeah.
Because they might turn out to be those kinds of players. But when you look at what they don't have, compared to the last number of years, for various reasons, and we know all those guys and who they are and what's happened to them since. You know, to think that Tom Brady is still putting his team in position to win games. They were in the position to win the game last week. I mean, can you imagine if they played as bad as they played on offense last year, but fought somehow they punched that thing in on the final drive, or maybe when they're first in goal, they punch it in and win that game by a point last week, and everybody's going, the Patriots are 5-0.
Right.
And they were that close to being 5-0.
Right. Perception is everything, isn't it?
Well, it is. But I think sometimes a lot of us get wrapped up in I'm not going to say the wins and losses, because ultimately that's the only thing that matters. Just like all these other stats and numbers and everything else, and football and baseball, whatever you want to talk about, all the stats are just noise. Because in football, it's who has the most points. In baseball, it's who has the most runs. And at the end of the year, it's who has the most wins. And the rest of it's just a bunch of garbage. When you cut right through it all. And so, right now, the last time I checked, the Patriots are sitting in first place in their division. They clearly have not been operating anywhere near where they think they are capable of operating. But I think a lot of that, really a tremendous amount of that credit obviously goes to the defense. Because if there is one thing I think the Patriots have not been able to hang their hat on, you know, by and large, in recent years, is having a really good defense. And I think the job they've done drafting, the players that they brought in here as free agents, I think all of a sudden this is one of the really good young defenses that's starting to come on and build itself up in the entire NFL.
Tom Brenneman will be here to call the game on Sunday. Patriots and New Orleans Saints for Fox Sports joining us here in the playbook. What is there that Drew Brees cannot do, in your estimation? Because he seems to have done it all. I don't know that he gets mentioned in the first thought or the first breath with the game's elite quarterbacks outside of Manning, Brady, and then this last year, you know, Flacco's name getting thrown in there, even though Rodgers, he very well should be.
Yeah. Oh, there's no doubt he should be. I mean, again, the numbers are there, and he's backed it up by winning games. You know, I've said it 100 times, I'm not so sure that the argument won't be made one day that Drew Brees will go down as the greatest free agent pickup in the history of the NFL. Now, there were a lot of people many years ago when he left San Diego that wondered, was his shoulder good enough, healthy enough, strong enough to be a big-time quarterback? He had the one really good year in San Diego, then the following year he got hurt, and the question started. Well, the Saints were the team that took the chance. Miami didn't, the Saints did. And you know, history has been rewritten for what once was among the worst franchises in all of professional sports. Brees walks in there. He's putting up the numbers. They put good players around him. They put in an offense that just suits him to a T. They hire this young coach in Sean Payton that, yeah, people had heard of, but again, a little bit of a roll of the dice. He'd never been a head coach before. And the two have just hit it off beautifully. And the only bad year that the Saints have had since Breeze went there was last year when Payton was suspended. And, you know, I still think that they need to run the ball. And, I mean, I know there are some people out there in football, they're a lot smarter than me, and believe me, there are a lot of those guys running around, but that will say in this day and age you don't have to run the ball. I will never, ever believe that. And, again, I keep coming back to the Patriots last weekend. First and goal at the one, you've got to be able to run the ball in the end zone.
Agreed.
And absolutely. So the Saints, when they've been at their best, they've been a team in 2009 and 2011. 2009, they won a Super Bowl. 2011, they had the best record in the league. Got upset in the playoffs. When they've been at their best, they've run the ball in the top 10 in the league at about 135 yards per game. Right now, they're at 78. They have not played a lot of teams that you would consider to be big-time offensive clubs that can come in there or a great shutdown defensive team yet. Their division's down. So this is going to be a big challenge for them, especially the way the Saints are playing on defense.
Which they have certainly improved upon, and we've kind of touched on it a little bit here. But fact of the matter is Rob Ryan has made a world of difference from Steve Spagnuolo's defense of a year ago, and the Patriot and really the Saints' defense, in a sense, kind of mimics what the Patriots are trying to do. They've been playing a lot of nickelback.
You're right. I mean, it's why, you know, they mirror to me each other in a lot of ways. They have a lot of young players. They also have sprinkled in some veteran guys that have been down the road a time or two on each side of the football. The Saints, well, what's interesting about them is they brought in a number of free agents during the offseason to really help them in this transition, guys that Rob Ryan had at one place or another before. And all of them got hurt. And so all of a sudden now they're having to play these young guys that were going to be backups, guys that were going to get a chance to play, rotate in and out, you know, pass rushing linebacker here, defensive end there, whatever it may be. But they're finding out these young players pretty good. And so, you know, Rob Ryan has his critics out there. I don't know enough about it to tell you one way or the other. I mean, at the end of the day, again, you know, who's a great defensive coordinator? Who's not a great defensive coordinator? You know, you look around some of the best Patriots teams they've had are teams that were giving up 30 points or 25 points a game, and most people consider Belichick to be one of the great defensive minds in football, right?
That's true.
You know, I mean, it's hard to put I've always thought it's really hard to put a finger on whether or not a guy, you know, is on any given year is a great defensive coordinator, because a lot of it has to do with the personnel. Last year in Dallas, I didn't think Rob Ryan had the personnel.
Right.
Most of their best players were hurt for the entire year.
Mm-hmm.
And so now all of a sudden he's got a group of guys that are playing very aggressively, which I think by and large most players in most sports like. You'd rather be on the offense than the defense, so to speak, in terms of being more aggressive. So, you know, they've been fun to watch so far.
And we're going to get an eyeful, I think, on Sunday. Tom, listen, thank you so much for taking a few minutes of your time today. We know your schedule's busy. Safe travels into Foxborough, and we'll look forward to listening into the call on Sunday.
All the best, guys. Have a great rest of the weekend, and we'll look forward to seeing you on Sunday. What's the weather going to be like? We're going to good weather up there this weekend?
I think we have a chance for some rain. But
on Sunday.
Yeah, on Sunday. But it's not, as you know, New England. Weather is never definite.
Okay. All right, guys. All the best.
Very true. All right. Thank you very much, Tom. Appreciate that.
You bet.
All right. It's Tom Brenneman, Fox Sports play-by-play announcer. He and Troy Aikman will have the national call on Fox Television on Sunday afternoon. Again, the 4:25 Eastern time kickoff here in Foxborough.
Actually, right. Now they're saying 20%
chance. 20%
chance
of rain on Sunday.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. All right, before we get to the word of the day, you got to go with your pick, E. Let's go. I know you picked at the end of PFW in progress today, you picked New Orleans, but you didn't give a score.
I didn't give a score. No, I've been mulling it for the last hour. And I'm going to go New Orleans 20, New England 17.
20-17. Okay.
Close game, hard fought. Saints come out on top at the end.
Well, to your credit, you did say that this is one of those games that the Patriots would lose before the beginning of the year.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yep.
This was also one of those games at the beginning of the year that I thought that the Patriots would lose. I thought this would probably be loss number two. I'm going to flip. Patriots win this game on Sunday, 23-20. I don't know why. This is a gut instinct, and maybe my gut is telling me something completely different. I just, for some reason, am uncomfortable picking New Orleans to win the game. I don't know why specifically, because certainly things seem to be lining up like that. And my head is telling me, don't do this. Don't do this. But I get the fact that when I was reading and studying up on this, I kept coming back to the point that New Orleans is also struggling in the red zone. Mm-hmm. So, and the Patriots have done exceedingly better in the red zone defensively this year than they have in the recent past. They really haven't given up much in terms of big plays overall. And so if New Orleans moves the ball between the 20s, which I firmly expect them to be able to do on Sunday, and it gets down to a battle of the red zones, then I think it's almost a standoff. Now, again, New England has been bad in the red zone on offense. But if they do have Rob Gronkowski come back on Sunday, that should at least improve their odds to the point where they might be statistically as good as New Orleans in the red zone. So then it just comes down to good old-fashioned who wants it more. Field position, turnovers, home field advantage. Patriots are what, a 2.5-point favorite?
Something like that, yeah.
All right, there you go. That's about what I'm thinking right now.
Okay.
About two and a half. That's about what I'm thinking. And since you can't score the half,
yeah,
I'm going with a field goal. 23-20.
All right, so we're not that far off in our scores.
No. We've got a 6-point swing here.
We both have New Orleans scoring 20.
Yes, we both have them scoring. You just think the Patriots will score six less.
One touchdown less.
And I completely understand why you would say that, because until we see it with any kind of consistency, it's hard to predict that they're going to do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I just call it a field. Okay. It might be the difference of an Aqib Talib pick, you know, defending Jimmy Graham. Mm-hmm. It may be. It could be one play that could swing this game the 6 points difference that you and I have right now. One play. It's going to be a hell of a game. I'm really looking forward to this game. I am
hope
pumped.
So, because last week people were looking forward to the game.
And it
was
turned out
bomb.
To be a dog. Yeah. But I got to tell you, though, even though last week was a dog, I just don't think we get two dogs in a row. I'm, as Pete Carroll would say, pumped and jacked.
Okay.
I'm pumped and jacked for the game on Sunday. And I think this will be an opportunity for the Patriots to show that they still belong amongst the top five or six teams in the NFL.
They're going to really be jacked up for this game.
Thanks, Coach. I appreciate that. You know, that they belong still amongst the top teams in the league, even though they're not completely healthy and have everybody back yet. So, all right, we still want your predictions. Webradio@patriots.com, 855-PATS500, at JR Broadcaster on Twitter, John.Rook on Facebook, so we can give away one of these, you know, media guides, for God's sake, because nobody has gotten it yet, and this is week six already. Week six. And before we let Eric go, we must attend to duties.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, it's time to pull up your britches, put on your Argyle sweaters, puff on your corn cob pipes, and gather round the fire for Eric Scalavino's Word of the Day.
You have to be
always
here.
Get that.
You have to be
laugh.
Here to watch John mouthing the intro, because he loves that so much.
I got to tell old Rob there that voiced this thing. I can tell him, man, you're my hero.
Yeah.
I want to talk like that.
That's really
Word.
Good.
Word
of the day.
Yes. And today's word of the day, John.
Yes.
I have to give you I can't wait to see how you try to spell this. Thonic.
Thonic?
Yes. Not sonic.
Yes.
Not like the Seattle Supersonic, but thonic.
The thonic. I go to the thonic.
Take a stab.
I go to the thonic drive-in for a thick fake.
Gin and thonic.
Yeah. A gin and thonic.
Take a stab at spelling thonic.
Thonic?
Mm-hmm.
Thonic?
Close. Chthonic.
C-H?
Yes.
What brilliant genius came up with that one?
The C-H is silent.
Who the hell made that up?
I believe it was the ancient Greeks. I think it comes from the ancient Greeks. C-H is silent.
Well, they suck.
Does it mean a whale's vagina, Eric?
No, it doesn't.
Wow.
I don't know where that came from.
Kevin, where the hell did that come from?
I don't know.
Anchorman.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember that
That's
line.
That's right. That's right.
Anyway, no, thonic means...
Thonic.
The short definition is subterranean.
Thonic.
Subterranean.
Subterranean.
Dealing with, related to, involving the underworld.
Okay.
That's what it means. C-H-T-H-O-N-I-C. The C-H is silent.
I'm trying to relate that and put that in a sentence, but I'm not sure I can. If it relates directly to the underworld. The subterranean.
Dante's Inferno. Mm-hmm. Dante Alighieri wrote about his descent into the devil's thonic realm.
Thonic realm. That's what I was going to say. Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
How's that?
C-H-T-H-O-N-I-C.
And the C-H is silent.
Man, I'm afraid that one just went whoosh over everybody's head today. But way to go, E. And you just learned that one yourself. You admitted that yesterday.
Yeah, about
right?
a week ago.
When you teased us.
First
with
time
this
I came across it was about a week ago, and I said, oh, man, I can't wait to drop this one on the playbook.
I honestly have never heard that word before. That's a first. I'll have to ask Miss Robin how she feels about that one, too, today. So
did I stump her yesterday?
You did stump her yesterday. So right. She's like, I got to meet this Eric now. So, okay. You're going to get a chance. You're going to get a chance. Each of you is going to get a chance very, very soon. There you
really?
Go. Yeah, very soon. Very soon.
Okay.
All right. There you go. All right. We'll see you on Sunday, brother.
Yeah, we will.
We have a game here.
Late kickoff.
Ready to roll.
Late afternoon.
Adios. Eric Scalavino, Patriots Football Weekly. Got to get the timeout in here. Come back. Got a couple of predictions we want to get to early. Let you have it. And then... The Guru, Russell Baxter, in the playbook.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest prices prices on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. It's time to go around the NFL with football guru Russell Baxter on Patriots Playbook.
And we are in hour number two of Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com radio. Our thanks to Tom Brenneman. Our thanks to Larry Holder. And now my thanks to the one and only Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com, Bleacher Report, Yahoo Sports, Cold Hard Football Facts, and he knows everything about everything. Don't you, Russell?
I don't know. You gotta tee me up with a high lob at the net. I'm hitting it back.
Oh, you just slammed it down my throat. I love it. I don't know.
I don't know.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect.
You?
I'm good.
That's more important. How are you?
We are well here. Actually, I just got through saying, as we talked to Tom Brenneman, I'm excited about this game on Sunday, and we'll deal with it more in just a little bit. But frankly, fact is, you got. This may be the game of the week in terms of the two teams, certainly record-wise, facing off in the NFL overall, and both teams are going to certainly find out a lot about themselves this week.
Oh, there's no question about it. Well, first off, we won't bury the lead, and we'll get right to the quarterback.
Sure.
Two of the most accomplished in history.
Right.
Right up on the list. What's it, Tom Brady now at 341 touchdown passes for his career?
Yeah, right there.
Which puts him one short of Fran Tarkenton. Remember, that was the mark that never was going to be broken.
I remember that one. I'm old enough to remember when Fran
right
said that. Yeah.
Drew Brees right behind him with 336.
Mm-hmm.
So, it speaks for itself. Amazing similarities between these teams defensively this year in the fact that the Pats have given up 70 points and the Saints have given up 73.
Yep.
Now, that latter number, 73, you would have thought that the Saints gave that up in one game last year.
Right.
When they fielded the worst defense in history in terms of yards allowed in a single season. But they've turned it around, and they are doing some remarkable things on offense that may surprise some people once you look at the numbers a little closer.
All right, we'll come back to the Patriots and the Saints. I want to start with tonight's game, only from the fact that I'm stunned that the Giants are 0-5, and I'm wondering, even though I hear to the contrary, I'm wondering if Tom Coughlin, how much further he can go and not somebody say, Tom, you're done. See ya. Here's your paycheck.
Well, I mean, they usually do that to him once a week, even when he's winning the Super Bowl.
This is true.
In New York. So
it's true.
But here's one for you, John. 0-5, 20 turnovers. They had 21 all of last year. Do you know the last time the Giants were actually 0-6?
No.
They got ready to play in this new building called the Meadowlands at Giants Stadium. That would be 1976.
Lordy.
Carry the four, add the two. That 37
years.
A really long time.
37 years.
Bill Arnsperger was the coach. 0-9 and 3-11. And
wow.
Very forgettable times for the New York Giants as this season is. But guess what? They're not exactly playing the hottest team in the league this week either. The Bears have lost two in a row.
Right.
After their 3-0 start. And there's kind of been question marks in my mind about the Bears' defense all season. If they don't get the takeaways, what do? They even managed to get three takeaways against the Lions and still couldn't stop them. And then last week couldn't stop the Saints when they really had to. lost 26-18. No takeaways for the Bears for the first time all season.
Yeah, and we and perhaps the most impressive win for the Saints, again, we'll talk about it a little bit, would probably come against the Bears at Chicago last week. Pretty solid win.
Yeah, remarkable what the Bears have done to date, but also it's also remarkable to see that weakness that continues to be. In the first three games, they gave up three sacks. Mm-hmm. That revamped offensive line with Jermon Bushrod and the rookies, Long and Collins and Matt Slauson. Three sacks in the three games they won. Then they gave up three sacks to the Lions alone and lost. And then last week they gave up three sacks to the Saints and lost. So they've gone from 3-3 games to 6-2 games.
Yeah, not exactly a winning formula here. All right, in the division then, and within the AFC East, I'll start it off with last week's Patriot conqueror, Cincinnati, going on the road to take on Buffalo at 2-3. You know, I'm surprised that Buffalo, frankly, is 2-3, but because they're home, I certainly give them more than just a fighting, a fighter's punch chance against the Bengals, because the Bengals still sputtered on offense last week and probably were fortunate they won.
Yeah, 19 points they've scored in their last two games. That's,
right.
That's not going to get it done.
No.
And it was funny, before the season started, I picked Cincinnati and Seattle to be in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And little did I know that Cincinnati was going to turn into Seattle. Because they're 3-0 at home and 0-2 on the road.
Yeah, how about that?
But they've been a much different team. I mean, look what they've done at home. Not necessarily in awe-inspiring fashion, but wins over the Packers and wins over the Patriots, not a bad thing to have on your resume.
Mm-hmm.
But losses to the Bears, losses to the Browns, again, the 19 points in the last 2 weeks. Their defense is very, very good. That front is very, very solid. But if they don't start getting a little consistency out of Andy Dalton in the offense, this could be a rough day for them. Now, of course, we're not going to see E.J. Manuel this week. We're going to see Thaddeus Lewis
right
as the Bills quarterback. There's still a couple good rookies there with Robert Woods, the wide receiver, and Kiko Alonso, who's probably the front runner for Defensive Rookie of the Year this year. But I think Cincinnati's got a few too many weapons. Now, hopefully Andy Dalton gets the ball to them. This could be... And I think it's a very big game for both teams, because one of them can get back to 500. And the difference between 500, the Bengals are 3-2. That's my mistake. For the Bills, I mean,
yeah.
The difference to get back to 500 opposed to slipping to 2-4 with another home loss, I think, would be huge. I mean, it's pretty evident with the way the AFC East is playing. And the division as a whole is playing pretty well.
Yeah, surprisingly so. Yeah.
A while. You know, we've got 2-3-2s, a 2-3, and a 4-1. I know the Patriots stumbled last week. It's not like they haven't played good football this year. Of course they have. I got to lean towards Cincinnati in here. I think they have still too many weapons, and I just think it's going to be a rough outing for a quarterback that's making only his second NFL start.
Yeah, I would agree. That probably is a deciding factor there. Dolphins with the bye week this week, but the Jets are at home against the Steelers, and I hate to say this, I think most Patriots fans should probably have to root for the Steelers this week.
Yeah, by the way, I like the Dolphins to pitch a shutout this week.
Yeah, so I think they will.
Their defense should look better.
They'll look better, yes.
Yes. Maybe they can shut out Atlanta, who's also not playing this week.
That's correct. 0-0.
You know, this is, I'll tell you, watching that Jets defensive front, that front seven, something to watch. And I'm still trying to figure out if Sheldon Richardson makes Muhammad Wilkerson or Muhammad Wilkerson makes Sheldon Richardson. I guess they're both pretty good. And they still have David Harris there at linebackers and Copels. Very formidable. And we know the Steelers' weakness is obviously the offensive line. Now, the Steelers have had a couple weeks to tweak some things. I didn't see anything about them, signing, new, other than the trade for Levi Brown. And we'll see how that pans out, because he struggled in Arizona. It's Steelers. How's this for a correlation, though, John?
Sure.
1968. That was the last time the Steelers were 0-4. That was the year before Chuck Knoll got there.
Also the year before the Jets won the Super Bowl.
Actually was the season that the Jets won the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's right. It was the 69 Bowl from the 68 season. Right. Right.
And
even better.
The thing was that, of course, they beat the Baltimore Colts 16-7 at the Orange Bowl. That was Don Shula's Baltimore Colts.
Yeah.
And Don Shula had an assistant coach by the name of Chuck Knoll.
Yep. Pittsburgh Steelers, of course.
Who a year later became the Steelers head coach. And how How'd that work out? I missed the email.
Yeah, it came out pretty well. So what you're telling me here is that the Steelers are going 0-5.
Well, they're going to have to do something dramatic not to be 0-5 because this Jets team needs to be get a little respect. I know. Now, here's the one thing I will say. We have seen, other than Monday night, because he didn't turn over the football, Geno Smith has 11 of the Jets' 12 turnovers.
Yeah.
Okay, talk about domination.
Yeah.
The Steelers have yet to total a takeaway this year.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
Well, and now you got to go back to when they went to the Super Bowl in 2010, lost to the Packers, but they had 35 takeaways in that 16-game regular season. They have 35 takeaways since then in 36 games, and none this year. They're the only team in the league that doesn't have a takeaway this year.
That's incredible. Well, then maybe Geno will be nice to them.
We'll see. I mean, you know, hopefully for Geno, he says no.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, for Geno's sake. But you had to like what you saw out of him the other night. And again, 11 turnovers, 7 of those, by the way, in the losses to the Patriots and the Titans.
Right, right. Other than the Saints, the other two 5-0 teams, both in play, I really wasn't going to bring up the Jags at Denver because that could be one of these stat padding, run up the score type of things. I'm like, wow, I know they have to play the game, but boy, if there was ever one to mail in, honestly, this would be one of them, wouldn't it?
You know, Denver Bronco fans will tell you, and even though this was a long time ago, they don't care when it is. They'll never, ever take the Jacksonville Jaguars lightly ever again. All we have to do is go back to the 1996 playoffs when they were probably headed to the Super Bowl that year, John.
Mm.
And the second-year Jaguars, remember, with Jimmy Smith and Mark Brunell, went into Mile High Stadium and beat the Broncos. Jacksonville is a long word. It's a four-letter word to Bronco fans.
Yeah.
So I don't think there'll be any mercy. I mean, but you can't have fun with the numbers. I mean, Denver scored 51 points last week. Jacksonville scored 51 points
all season.
All year.
Right. Yeah.
Jacksonville, I mean, the Broncos have scored more points in the second, third, and fourth quarter than the Jaguars have scored all year.
Mm.
And when you really get down to it, you know, what's funny? This is the worst start, by the way, in Jacksonville's history, 0-5. Okay? But here's the screwy thing you do with numbers, and it's just history. So Denver wins, and they're 6-0. Do you know what happened the last time that Denver was 6-0?
No.
They finished 8-8.
You'll tell me. They finished 8-8?
Yeah, in 2009. That was under Josh McDaniels.
Wow, it was just 4 years ago. Yeah, that's what cost Josh his job.
I mean,
it's
just, you can have a ball with all this stuff, okay? But the thing that we also know, too, is, and even though personnel has obviously changed, you know, Peyton Manning knows the Jacksonville Jaguars fairly well by playing them twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't anticipate the Jags running for 375 yards against the Broncos like they did against Peyton's Colts in 2006. So,
right.
I don't know if anybody's going to mail it in, but I'll throw out one more thing and read it into what you will. Denver is not giving up less than 20 points in any game they played this year.
Well, okay, so they give up 20 against the Jaguars, but they're going to score 60.
I'm not saying they don't win 40-20, but that 48-point explosion by the Cowboys had to be an eye-opening experience.
No question. It does show that,
listen, they're not looking to play Jacksonville to get, you know, to win the division this week, obviously.
Correct.
But, you know, when Von Miller and Champ Bailey get back, I'm going to be curious to see what this defense truly looks like.
Raiders are playing at the Kansas City Chiefs, the 5-0 Kansas City Chiefs. Boy, this is one of the great throwback, you know, AFL type of games, a divisional rivalry. You know, I don't know how much real, you know, angst there is between the two sides any longer, because I think with time, all things sort of ebb to the side. Even it's done that in the Cowboys-Redskins rivalry and in the Giants-Eagles rivalry. But Raiders and Chiefs significant because the Raiders actually a little bit of surprise behind Terrell Pryor, number one. The Chiefs obviously get the tag for surprise in the entire league thus far.
Well, it's funny that you say the Chiefs 5-0 because the Raiders are actually 6-0.
Against?
They're 6-0 in their last six trips to Arrowhead Stadium.
How about that? See? Only you can bring that up. That's it.
Don't you find that interesting? This has become a rivalry of road team. But, yes, the Raiders have beaten the Chiefs six straight times in Kansas City. which is almost remarkable. And a lot of times it's due to Darren McFadden, and we don't know if Darren McFadden is going to be around this week because we never know when Darren McFadden is going to be around. But very impressive what they did against San Diego in a game I think that just ended about 3 hours ago from Sunday night. But five takeaways by the Raiders, three picks of Philip Rivers, pretty balanced attack, playing with a little more confidence, the Raiders. Divisional rivalry, you can never count these things short. You know, it's and it'll be very, very interesting to see Kansas City, which has actually had turnover. I don't want to say turnover issues. You know, first three games, no turnovers. Last two games, five turnovers. But one thing about the Chiefs, they've held every team this year to 17 points or less.
Wow, 17 or less.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've given up an even Derek Thomas on the season. That would be 58
points. All the way, yeah, right. You know, I'm kind of, you know, now that you've told me that they've won their last six in a row in Kansas City, I'm giving the Raiders a little bit more of a shot here than I initially thought.
Yeah, I just find it interesting how this rivalry is going. Now, Kansas City's done very well in Oakland, by the way, the last 5 or 6 years. But listen, we know what a tough place this is to play. I will say this. We talked about the Jets' defense. I don't know if any front seven or defensive unit as total is playing as well, and even includes Seattle, is playing as well as the Kansas City Chiefs right now.
Okay. One other game I wanted to look at before we get to the Pats, a little bit of intrigue, only that Tennessee's a little better than advertised. Seattle took their first lumps last week. Seattle gets to come back home this week where they're 2-0 out of their 4-1 start to the season overall. Tennessee's going to get their real test this week, without a doubt.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about it. And they got a test, obviously, last week as well. They committed their first turnovers of the season, as a matter of fact. They've gone the first four games without a turnover. Ryan Fitzpatrick with a couple of picks. Bad special teams play early in the game kind of set tone. Actually took the lead in that game, but couldn't hold on.
Mm-hmm.
And, now they go to a place where, in the last 10 home games, Seattle's 10-0 and have outscored the opposition by a combined 200-and-something points.
Wow.
It's some ludicrous number. But Tennessee plays respectable defense, and I'll give you a number that's maybe a little surprising to people because it wasn't necessarily an issue for him last year. Eight touchdown passes for Russell Wilson, seven turnovers in five games, four picks, three lost fumbles. I don't know if he's being necessarily asked to do more or teams are long. Now he's running like crazy, rolling up a lot of rushing yards, which he started to do late last season. But not completely on the beam yet with his total game. And the fumble thing bothers me probably a little more than the interceptions do.
Yep. And that's probably partly because he is out in the open field. Guys are taking whacks at it. That's quite a pedestrian number, I would say.
Yeah, I don't think... I want to say he had somewhere in the neighborhood of maybe 10 or 11 turnovers last year. I might be wrong. I think he only threw 10 interceptions. I can't remember what his fumbles were, but that seven turnovers in five games, that's more than one a game. That's not a good number.
No, it is not. Well, maybe that's one way that Tennessee can stay in it. All right, Saints at Patriots could be the game of the week in the National Football League with 5-0 going on the road at 4-1. Patriots are going to try to find some offense. They left it in Atlanta because they certainly didn't find it last week in Cincinnati. We don't know. Who knows for sure? Rob Gronkowski could be back. Danny Amendola might be a little closer to 100%. We do know that, or at least we expect that Stephen Ridley will be back in running back, which means that Tom Brady might have more weapons to his advantage, but he's going to face the Saints team defensively is where they have made their biggest strides from a year ago.
Oh, there's no question about it. If you look what Rob Ryan has done there, and probably not with a lot of household names, I want to say something like 9 or 10 players have at least one sack on the team.
Mm-hmm.
Cameron Jordan, the defensive end, leads the way. By the way, can we get a Saints-Browns Super Bowl so I can see Cameron Jordan tackle Jordan Cameron?
Jordan Cameron, right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that would make me...
make you very happy.
Speaking of tight ends, though,
yes.
And I know Rob Gronkowski, obviously his return would be huge. But could Jimmy Graham do any more than he's doing right now for the New Orleans Saints?
Not at all. 37 catches, almost 600 yards, six touchdowns.
Jimmy Graham leads the NFL in receiving yards with 593 yards. He has gotten 100 yards receiving 4 weeks in a row. I mean, that's astounding. And if you go back and look, and I won't do the math for you right here, go back and look at Drew Brees' total passing yardage, John, and see how much Darren Sproles and Jimmy Graham have of his yards. It's more than half.
So if you're looking at it from the Bill Belichick point of view, not only do you have to try to slow down or take Graham out, you also got to have to account for Sproles somehow.
Well, busy line. It's going to be a busy day for the linebackers like it was for the Bears linebackers. How's this for a crazy stat? Drew Brees has thrown 12 touchdown passes this year, John. Two of them are the wide receivers.
So that'd be six to Graham and four to Sproles?
One to Watson.
Oh, one to Watson, too. Okay.
Yes, two to Pierre Thomas last week.
Out of the backfield.
And one
right.
to Sproles.
One to Sproles.
So seven to the tight ends, three to the running backs. Tell me, you think of Drew Brees and throwing the ball downfield and all the things he does?
Of course.
10 out of 12 touchdown passes to the running backs and tight ends. And his tight end is leading the entire NFL. Have you ever heard of this? His tight end is averaging 16 yards a catch.
That's amazing.
That's an NFL-wide receiving number that could lead a league. And he's got 16 yards a catch.
Yeah, for those fans who think Rob Gronkowski, when healthy, is the best tight end in the NFL, Jimmy Graham would have you think otherwise.
Well, Jimmy Graham right now is having the best season. You know, Rob Gronkowski. I mean, look at Julius. Listen, we're seeing some wild numbers by tight ends this season. Julius Thomas in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Another guy having an enormous year. You just look around the league. The tight ends have been very, very prominent. But Jimmy Graham is just a lot. He didn't catch a touchdown pass last week yet. He had 10 for 135 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Drew Brees threw for 288 yards last week, 50 to wide receivers, and 238 to the rest of the team.
By the way, it snapped his streak of consecutive 300-yard games, too.
Yeah, well, and yeah, speaking of streak being snapped.
Yes, we know.
I mean, talk about conspiracy theory.
Right.
All right? Wasn't this the week that Tom Brady was supposed to have 53 touchdown passes?
And tie Drew with another one. Yeah.
And throw 54, and that got derailed.
Sure did.
Last week in Cincinnati when he failed to throw a touchdown pass for the first time since 2009.
Correct.
So we were all ready to see him tie Drew Brees' record, and now we're going to have to wait three or four more years.
Yep. If we have any luck at all, we'll see.
Hey, I'll be. If you want me back on the show in 2018, I'll be here.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. That's a good commitment, Kevin. We have the commitment.
There you go.
All right. So, you know, it does seem to me to boil down to whether or not the Patriots can find a way to take Drew Brees' primary targets away from him. And, of course, the Patriots have to find their own targets and get a little bit better in the red zone. New Orleans has struggled, at least statistically, in the red zone. So to me, if you're struggling in the red zone, it's going to come down to, you know, good old-fashioned football. Field position, turnovers. Who's going to make the mistake? Who's going to shoot themselves in the foot?
Yeah, and I believe it'll be Drew Brees that shoots himself on the foot, because every once in a while he will shoot and throw for what I like to call a Brett Favre-type pass. Inexplicable, in the double coverage, maybe while he's falling down. I'm not totally convinced that New Orleans' defense what thinks we all think it is. And I mean that more in the sense of against the run than anything else, John. And I think there's going to be a healthy dose of running by the New England Patriots. And in this battle of news, I lean toward the Pats.
No kidding. No kidding. I'm actually a little surprised to hear you say that today.
Well, and hopefully it's a pleasant surprise, because I'll do anything I can to stay on your show.
You don't ever have to worry about that, Russell. Never. Don't have to worry
no,
about
I,
that.
I listen, big road win for the Saints. They come back and go on the road again. They're doing a lot of things right. Don't get me wrong.
Right. And there's a possibility for a natural letdown. I do get that. Yeah.
Yeah. But I also think I don't want to dismiss what New England's doing on defense. Okay. Because it's easy to be as improved as New Orleans is on defense when you did what you did last year, which was simply horrific, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't want to acknowledge that the Patriots are only giving up 14 points a game, I know they're not scoring. They're scoring 19. I mean, so they're winning games 19-14 this year, 95 points scored, 70 points allowed. They're giving up fewer points than the Saints.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of gets downplayed. They didn't lose 35-6 last week. They lost 13-6. Okay? And they've won 13-10 this year.
Mm-hmm.
We knew this was going to be a different kind of Patriots team. We didn't expect the winning not to change, though, and I think they win this week.
Excellent stuff, as always. Good analysis, good insight, great numbers, as usual. Thank you very much, as always. And we'll find a way to check in with you again next Thursday.
You got it, John.
Thank you, Russell. Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com. Catch his stuff and catch him right here in the playbook every Thursday. All right, let me get to no break here. We're going to get right to our predictions. We've got a lot of emails to get to. Kevin, I got to get logged back in here. Pardon the shop talk here as we get going. I also want to take some phone calls because Josh and Xavier have been really kind enough to hang on. Josh has been holding on about 10 minutes longer. You have the microphone, my man. Welcome into the playbook.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, Josh.
Hey, just my number one thing is, I'm a lifelong Patriots fan, and I absolutely love Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. But over the past half a decade here, if you really look, we used to love having a plethora of draft picks. And I just have to say, like when you guys mentioned as far as the general manager of Bill, how many times have we traded out of the first round? And that would be fine if we were adding quality depth, but how many times have we drafted a guy who is either injury prone or has a checkered past here? I mean, wouldn't we have loved to go back to the draft where Dez Bryant came out and we traded down from the Cowboy spot and didn't have a outside receiver? Now, I know that over this past season, they didn't account for losing injuries, Rob not being back, Shane Vereen being out, Aaron Hernandez's situation. We have other problems, but it wasn't like they went out and tried to get a receiver in the draft. In fact, they traded down again. I would have rather had them trade up or bring in a couple guys, maybe Cordarrelle Patterson or DeAndre Hopkins, one of those guys who really is a number one receiver. Instead, they trade down and they get a guy who is just, average, I would say. I mean, Kembrel Tompkins is undrafted.
Well, you have to, I mean, again, they thought that the value was where they ended up selecting. Considering the fact that their track record has not been great with wideouts over the course of the last several years, I'm pretty sure that's probably why they went the way that they did. Because, if it didn't work, well, then, hey, they really didn't lose much. Now, they did go out and get a couple of second-round guys, so to speak, in Dobson and Boyce, although Boyce was, a fourth-rounder. But they still like his, apparent potential. Maybe they just thought that that's where the value was. It's always easy to look hindsight into this and say, hey, they could have or should have done this. And believe me, I've done my fair share of, hindsight sort of predicting, if you will. What you need to, kind of pay attention to, at least at this stage of the game, are the results for the guys that they've picked recently. Because a lot of times, when guys get involved and they get into it, something happens to them, whether it's an injury or they just can't hack it or what have you, that, they don't really have any control over. The one thing that's really thrown the Patriots for a loop this year, we talked about it a little bit earlier this week, and I cannot stress it even more now, is the fact that the whole Aaron Hernandez scenario has thrown the entire offense for a loop. And that's a little disturbing in its own right because you went lock, stock, and barrel toward the two tight end set, thinking you're going to have that, and now all of a sudden you don't have that. In fact, you don't even have either one of them to this point in time. So then why wouldn't you spend at least a little bit more time looking at quality wideouts or trying to bring somebody in? And the answer to that is they didn't feel like anybody was going to be worth their while.
Well, and I agree with you on that. And I say, that did throw them for a loop. But the other things that they have done, we go back to, okay, that they finally pay for some money. They bring in Danny Amendola, who has an injured past. They knew Shane Vereen, who showed some promise against the Texans last year. But they lose out on, I think, what is more than, I would put them in between a starter and a role player in Danny Woodhead.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they should have kept Danny Woodhead. I think that they should have, if Shane Vereen and Danny Woodhead were both healthy, they would actually have been able to cover more of the loss for Aaron Hernandez by having two receiving backs, two of the best receiving backs, I believe, in the NFL, probably only second to possibly Darren Sproles.
Hard to disagree with that, but again, it's all kind of revisionist history now, so there's not a whole lot you can do about it. I mean, I hate to be so matter of fact about it, but I mean, it's revisionist history. They fundamentally decided that they were not going to pay Danny Woodhead what he got from San Diego.
Yeah, and lastly here, before you kind of let me go here, is I'll just say this: is I think that you, and I agree with you. I don't know why people kind of were battering on you about saying we need to bring in a different quarterback. I think that they need to do that. I think that Brady is definitely on his back nine here. But I think that they need to do, you know, since they're going to extend his contract till he's 40, they obviously have plans to keep him on their team and as their guy. I think that they need to just clean house here, kind of put it all in, clean the draft picks out. You know, I think they need to do all of them, trade for some veterans, go, you know, give one last shot the way that Denver's doing with Peyton Manning. They need to go out, get a Larry Fitzgerald, get other receivers who may be on the trading block. And I would say that they have, you know, the arsenal to trade out and possibly land Josh Gordon and Larry Fitzgerald, and I think that's what they need to do.
I agree.
I'm hoping that they lose to the Saints. I'm hoping that they lose to the Saints in dramatic fashion as well as the next couple of weeks, because when they lose, one of the best things that they did last year was bring in Aqib Talib. Now, is that not the most important defensive player on our defense right now?
Well, I hope that it doesn't take the losing to get them to operate with a sense of urgency, which is where I think you really want them to go. But I get your point, Josh. I get your point. Do you have a prediction for Sunday?
I do, actually. I think New England will win, like you. I think that every time I want them to lose for a different reason, I never flat out want them to lose. I usually have something positive behind that. But I think that they win. I think that they're going to take care of the Saints. I don't think the Saints' offense is as explosive as Atlanta's when healthy. I think all they need to really do, Jimmy Graham is their only deep threat. I think in the red zone they need to take a couple linebackers like they did with Gonzalez, press them at the line, and during the whole rest of the field have a safety over the top and have a linebacker watching Darren Sproles for screen passes. And other than that, I think they hold the Saints to under 21 points. So I'm calling a 24-17 score, New England over New Orleans.
Good stuff, Josh. Very thorough. Thank you for hanging on in there. Let's see. He says 24-17 New England. Xavier in Providence, thanks for hanging in there, buddy. You're up next in the playbook.
Thanks for having me. First time caller. I've been listening for about 2 or 3 days.
Good. I'm glad you did.
So it's been exciting, so I just figured maybe I'd give it a shot and call you guys.
I'm glad you did.
All right. So I just think, you know, we got to, you know, stop focusing so much on the offense. Eventually, they'll put it all together and just, you know, be happy with what we got on defense. If you actually look back at the championship times when the Patriots were winning championships, they had a great defense and not much of an offense. You know, and they just did enough to get by. So I think that with all the pieces coming back, you know, people being healthy and whatnot, you know, their offense will start clicking. And that being said, you know, I don't really have much to say, but for my game picks, I'm going to pick New England. And you're going to be surprised. But I think they're going to win 28-13.
28-13. Got it. Okay.
And the reason why I say that is because look at back when Houston was 11-0, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And New England, you know, they came into New England, and the Patriots beat them, 40-something, 40 points to 14, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
42-14, whatever it was. And I know they don't. New England doesn't have the personnel that they had back then, you know, with Walter and all them people. But I still think that, you know, New England, when it comes to big games like this and people coming into hometown, especially with the defense, the way they're playing, they're gonna find a way to score. So that's my prediction.
I think, you know, I can understand why you would make that pick. I think a lot of people are anticipating that, you know, Rob Gronkowski's return, if indeed it does happen on Sunday, that should free some things up for others. It certainly is going to cause New Orleans' defense to be concerned with where he is on the field at every snap of the football that he's in the lineup. And that's going to take, and ostensibly, it's going to free up somebody else somewhere else. Maybe this allows, you know, one of the Wookiees to figure out a way to get themselves open and actually hold on to a football. We had so many drops last week that I think we lost track of them all at once. Thank you. A little late with the trigger there, but, you know, we got one in there anyway. So we're anticipating opportunity presenting itself much more frequently than we've seen in the first 5 weeks of the season. I think that's really what most people are looking forward to. I said this yesterday, Xavier, and I'll say it again today. I don't think that Gronk is going to be asked to do everything that he's already done in the past. I think they're going to spoon feed him back. I do think that he'll be a target somewhere in the red zone because of the struggles in the red zone. And certainly New Orleans is going to understand that and know that and identify that. But it may very well be where, you know, between the 20s, that's where Gronk is going to have his most success on Sunday, and that's kind of what I expect.
I mean, if you look at what New England did to Atlanta, with the way they doubled up on Gonzalez, even though Gonzalez had a good game.
Yeah.
But the way they, you know, Drew Brees doesn't have those two type of weapons like Atlanta has, like Julio Jones and Roddy White.
That's very true. That's very true. And I would also tell you that, you know, the Patriots kind of let Gonzalez have what he had because they didn't feel like they could get beat. And then you noticed at the end of the game when Atlanta was making that comeback, they doubled him at the line. They didn't get him breathe off the line. And the Patriots took his butt out. And I think that that's what they feel like they could do probably against Jimmy Graham. With all due respect to Graham, they may try to single cover him with someone like Aqib Talib, which would be a little bit of an unusual occurrence. But Graham, they utilize as more of a wide receiver type anyway than a true tight end, and his numbers this year will bear that out. So they may give Talib a chance to kind of athlete up on the guy and see if they can get away with that. And it would not shock me to see that matchup at all.
Exactly. So like I said, you know, and if you look at the Atlanta game, those were scrubbed. Points that they score at the end, they weren't meaningless. They had no meaning to them. They were meaningless.
Right.
So New England hold Atlanta to like 10 points until they watch the fourth quarter.
Right.
So exactly the same. You know, with our defense playing like that, that's why 28-13 is my prediction. And
all right. All right. It's good stuff, Xavier. Thanks for the call. I hope you do it again, bud.
All right, no problem. Thank you.
You got it. All right, let me get to some of these emails now because we've got a ton of them that have come in. We'll get to the Facebook posts and the tweets. Let's see. Let's start it off. Josh says, Josh from Stratford, Connecticut, just wanted to ask what your take on why Josh Boyce hasn't been used after so many apparent drops and non-separation from Aaron Dobson. Well, I think, number one, they love Dobson's physical stature. You know, he was a higher draft pick, so I think they're giving him every opportunity to succeed, just like they did a guy like Rashai Dowling. It's going to take a lot for him not to be a factor. But I think at some point in time, if Dobson comes up with a case of the dropsy, they've got to give Boyce a chance. I would also tell you that I think partly is because of what they haven't seen from Boyce in practice. Now, again, we're not privy to a lot of it because they don't allow us in to see more than, you know, the first, 20 to 30 minutes or so, and sometimes not even that much of practice every week. It's really more like 10 to 15 minutes. So, I can only tell you that this team is as much as any other team I've ever followed and ever covered. They go by the guys that play are the ones that practice and practice well. The one question I would ask about Boyce is why he's not returning kicks. He should be. Maybe we get to see that. I don't know, but I think that's where he could be effective and probably, you know, kind of carve a niche for himself. Jeff in Alberta, Canada. I've been going back and forth all week on who's going to win this week. I'm going to count on home field advantage, Gronkowski, and just me really wanting it to get the Patriots a win. So he says 24-20. Won't be the high-scoring game you'd expect between a New England or a New Orleans, and Gronk helps to turn one of our red zone disasters into a touchdown instead of just a field goal. All right, Jeff, thank you. 24-20. Sean in Vancouver, 2-0 from Canada. John, I still believe in the Patriots, and I feel with some fortune going their way, they'll be healthier, one of the best teams in the NFL very soon. I still remember the embarrassing performance the last time New England played New Orleans. Yeah. Yeah. I liked in Patriots' defense. I'm concerned about the loss of Will Fork and Kelly, but the secondary, especially Talib, has been impressive. New Orleans puts up a lot of points. They have more weapons than just Jimmy Graham. New England will have to be ready for the screen passes to the backs as well. I hope Ridley plays. Patriots can have a balanced attack. This team needs to run the ball to give Brady some time to throw. Totally agree with that one, Sean. Pats also really need Gronk, especially for a big, reliable target in the end zone. He says, my prediction, New Orleans 27, New England 24. You see, I'm not just a homer, and I will enjoy the game. Thank you, Sean. All right, he says 27-24, New Orleans. Robin in Alaska, I love the Patriots. I'm almost unhealthily consumed with my adoration of football. A true fanatic. You sense a but, don't you? Yep. But I can't see the Patriots' inept offense and injured defense matching the Saints. This will be one of those rare back-to-back losses. I believe this will be beyond ugly. So ugly that the games previous to this will start to look good. Like beer goggles good. The Patriots will eventually get on track this season. They will be competitive, just not yet. Robin says, Saints win 31-16. Ouch. Two in a row for the Saints. Patrick says, if the Pats can find balance between running and passing and get the run going, they have a chance to win it. He says 20-14. Otherwise, they can't start off early and score a lot of points because the offense isn't clicking. If it's not a close game, well, the Pats can lose. That's Patrick from New York. But he says Patriots 20, Saints 14. Okay, Dave in Lancaster, California. 31-28, Patriots. Defense is going to let down this game, but the offense is going to step up. John, can you give a shout to my friend Leah Meza and tell her Broncos suck? Thank you. You just did, Dave. Jose says from Long Island, New York. I've been listening to the show since Tuesday. I did put a lot of thought into what you said, and I got to the conclusion that some of the stuff is right. But that's a close case when we have Brady, and soon we'll start this talk again. My prediction, Pats 23-20. That's what my score was. Thank you, Jose. Defense will make the last play needed, and the offense will have some improvement. I think everybody would settle for that kind of improvement if it results in a 23-20 win, Jose. Thank you for the email. Sam in Chicago. When Brady goes home at night, he must ask his football analyst wife if the Patriots covet money more than wins. In February, he signed a contract extension that's way below market value, $57 million for 4 years, in order to give owner Robert Kraft more cap space to sign talent. Sure, Bunchen made $42 million last year, so they can still fly business class to their private island. But the Patriots are almost $10 million under the salary cap. There's principal involved. All right. Thanks for pointing that out, Sam, in Chicago. Michael in Stockholm, Sweden. My prediction this week, Saints win 31-17. Can't see how the Patriots will be able to handle Graham and Sproles. And even if Gronk is back, I think we'll struggle moving the ball. You know what? I'm not terribly surprised that we're getting Saints predictions here, but it's kind of heartwarming to see that we don't. I mean, I know we got a lot of homers, as well we should, because this is Patriots Radio, but it's also nice to see some reasonable thinking based on the track record leading up to this game. I think everybody's being extremely level-headed here. I'm loving this. There's some good football knowledge going on here. Steven, I am torn about this game. On one hand, my dad likes the Saints, but I have always been a diehard Patriots fan, following my heart instead of my gut this week. Patriots 31-28. I will not sit on the fence. Nice boy, Steven. That's a good job by you. Jeffrey says, good day for New England in all three areas, defense, special teams, and a balanced offense, 31-20 over the Saints. Good. JB says, as a 52-year-old with a crippling spinal disease, I have way too much time on my hands. Well, Godspeed to you, JB. He says, I've been a Pats fan since 75. I've had the DirecTV package since 99. I have not missed 1 second of any Pats game since. In my opinion, in order for Brady and the offense to be successful, the O-line must be perfect in the protection of the quarterback. It has been proven that when Tom is facing a great pass rush, he doesn't have the ability to move and extend his time to throw the ball. It's all we've been talking about this week. I'm willing to bet there are not a handful of D linemen in the league that Tom could outrun. Watching other NFL games through the week, I can't help but feel like there are a fairly large number, 6 to 7, of quarterbacks that would perform better than Brady in our offense. Tom has been great for the Patriots, but Father Time waits for no one. Thank you for the backup there, JB. I appreciate that. And like I said, and I say it again here, for those that may not have heard early this week, and for the, you know, some knuckleheads that, you know, are on the PFW show, guests and callers alike, I'm not saying trade Brady. I didn't say that. Never said that. I charge you to find me where I said that. I said you could trade him. It might be entered into discussion. I don't want that. What I want is an attention to the big picture. And if you're going to commit one way to the younger, you know, a receiver, maybe Brady's not the guy that needs to get him the ball, because Brady's at his best in a precision offense, throwing to a spot. The guys aren't getting to a spot. So either Tom must adjust or you get another quarterback in there. That's what I've said. That's it. Aaron says, John thinks certain rookies have a better skill set than Tom for this team. That's ridiculous. I'm assuming that he meant this for the PFW guys. Tom's struggling with accuracy because he has to wait to know where these wide receivers are going. Well, duh. And that's not his game, Aaron. Or Aaron, or however, I don't understand how you pronounce that. Usually QBs throw it before the cut so that the ball is where it's supposed to be when the wide receiver turns his head, but Tom has to wait, and he throws it, and his rhythm and accuracy is off. Accuracy is off. Correct, you are. So you're going to have to anticipate a little bit more where the rookies are going to go, and that's almost impossible to do in a timing-predicated offense. Also, if Brady didn't have the right skill set for this team, you don't get rid of Tom. You build a new team around him because he's the franchise. We've been asking for that. You got 3 or 4 good years left in him. Conceivably. So why the heck are they rebuilding everywhere else around him? Don't you want to try to win another title or no, win another ring or two while you have him? Of course you do. Of course you do.
Today, Junior.
Thank you. Kevin's on fire today. Although
I knew what you wanted to say. I could see the wheels turning. You just get so amped up and so angry, it just won't come out.
I only got one Wookiee out of you today, though. Thank you. All right, that's two. So why does he want to give up Super Bowl chances for the next 3, possibly 5 years? They don't. But their philosophy is get younger so that Tom isn't, you know, surrounded with an ancient team. Again, I'll repeat. 2 years ago, this Patriots team was the second oldest in the league. Now they are the second youngest in the league when you count first and second year players on the roster. 23 out of the 53. First or second year. That's quite a transformation in 2 years' time. Probably a little bit too much of a transformation, in my opinion. Last thing, John says we need to have the talk. Well, we've been having the talk. Some thought Tebow, others thought Ryan. Some say we need to look elsewhere. But to give someone a shot to compete for the job, no. Well, then that's ridiculous. Aaron, that's ridiculous. We're just going to live and die with Tom and what he can do, I guess, right? Okay. He needs to have some help, and you said that yourself. Howard in Stratford, Connecticut says, Pats 30, Saints 28. Patriots have never lost when my son has attended a game, and he will be there for this week's game. That's good enough for me, Howard. I feel a lot better about my pick now. Olu from Maryland. Keeping this short and sweet, Patriots 27-23. I think red zone efficiency will be the difference. I think it comes down to the Saints win the ball, with the ball needing a touchdown, and the defense preserves the win. Thank you, Olu. All right, let me get to social media here. Twitter. Nick says, pick for the game, Patriots 26, Saints 23. Pats, when are they going to apply pressure and get sacks? They need to fluster Breeze. Like that one. Says Phil, says, I listened to yesterday's podcast. Can't believe no one mentioned Luck in a fantasy trade. Don't just think short term. That's true. Nobody mentioned Andrew Luck. We were picking, hey, if you could get somebody, anybody in the league, who would you get? He says Andrew Luck. Joe says Patriots. Here we go. He says 38-17 Saints. Make the Pats look like the Jaguars. Ouch. Thanks, Joe. All right, 38-17 New Orleans on that one. Ray says, looking for the Pats to bounce back with Gronk. 34-24 New England. What else do we have? Any other predictions here? No other predictions coming up. I think that's it. I don't see any other scores there. Thumbing through it. Don't see any else. Okay, let's wrap it up then on Facebook. Michael says, this game against the Saints will be a Sunday afternoon challenge that will have viewers on their seats. Not in them, on them, right? After some offensive woes, the Pats will rise from a deficit to emerge with a 23-20 victory. Okay, I also had that one. And today's PFW show exemplified how none of the participants, including some emailers, did not listen to your analysis of the Brady issue. All I can tell you is I just think that there's a different class of audience that listens to this show as opposed to that one. Am I inaccurate with that, Kevin? No, he's shaking his head no. That's all I'm saying. Sometimes those guys act a little knuckleheaded, and I think, you know, that's what sometimes that happens. Now, it doesn't mean that everybody that listens to that show is a knucklehead. Why, the knuckleheads know who they are.
please keep listening so I can keep my job.
Yeah, just do it for Kevin's sake, right? Just do it for Kevin's sake. And I'm not denigrating anybody, because we all get a little knuckleheaded from time to time with, you know, people thought I was knuckleheaded all week this week for saying what I did against TB12. And it wasn't necessarily against him, but they clearly misunderstood my meaning. So that tells me two things. Either A, you're not listening, or B, you're not listening! Did I say it loud enough for you? Mary Beth. Very simple. 24-21, Pats. It's about right. I have 23-20. I think she's about right on that call. Let me see if I can get to the home page here very, very quickly, because I know I had a couple on that one, too. Let's see. Here we go. Abby says, 31-27 Saints. Damn it. That's a good one. Nori, 27-23 Pats. I'm going out on a limb. I did say the Pats will go 4-2 by the end of week 6, but I have a good feeling the Pats can win this one. Gronk coming back, playing in front of the home crowd. I feel the team will be feeding off of Gronk's presence, especially the offense, as they will bounce back from a poor performance against Cincinnati. All right, two more quick ones here. Sean says, I haven't written in over a year. I couldn't stay silent any longer. Eric is killing me. We'll save that for another day. Paul, you get the last prediction. John, prediction for Sunday. Gronk's back. The Wookiees step it up after last week's disappointment. The D continues to make plays. Pats stun the Saints 45-23. That's a big one. 45-23. Wow. All right, Dynamite show today. Thanks, everybody, for taking part.
A little Dixie for you, John.
I appreciate that. Why not? You know, we're not going to Dixie, but frankly, might as well talk. I have a little Dixie plate in there anyway. Thanks to Larry Holder from the New Orleans Times-Picayune. Thanks to Tom Brenneman, Fox Sports. Russell Baxter, Pro Football Guru. Eric Scalavino, PFW. And thanks to you for all of your input. Kevin, an outstanding job by you this week here on the show.
Appreciate it.
Football Nation's next. Same Pats time. Same Pats channel Tuesday. Nitpicks. But we have a lot to nitpick about. We're going to find out. Have a great weekend.
When the Saints go marching in, Lord, I want to be in that number. When the Saints go marching in.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program.
Ron Jaworski,
Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook.
Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2. Yeah.